microphone in.
Okay, 203.
You take us one by one, eh?
Sure. Maybe I'll do that so you can go rest.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking last time about wire work in the industry. Remember that? Can you tell me a little bit about how, let's see, was there a union there when you worked there? Was there a union there when you worked there, a trade union?
The trade union?
Was there a union?
Oh, they, towards the end, yes. Yes, they had it, but I couldn't tell you the name of it.
Right. Do you remember anything about that union?
No, I don't. I don't remember much about that at all.
And
all I know is the foreigners come in and they woke it up quite a bit.
Mm.
Yes, they sure. That's all I remember about it.
Right. Okay. And were there mostly women who worked at wire rope during the war? Was it mostly women?
Oh no, the men and women. Oh, in the end, yes, there was there was more women in the. She worked in the ropes longer than I did. She could tell you more about the ropes than I can.
Okay, I'll ask you about that. Okay. So, and you were in Boeing's mostly.
I was at Boeing's mostly, yes.
Right. And what did you do at Boeing? What was your job?
I was making precision parts for aeroplanes all the time.
And what were those parts used for?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. There was little ones and big ones, and but they had. I know it was provision. I can't say the word now. it was very, very tedious work.
Really?
Very tedious.
Tell us a bit more about that. What made it tedious? What did you have to do?
Well, it was the measuring parts. The measuring, we had to have a micrometer. And you could pull a hair out of your head and measure it to see how thick it was on the micrometer. Now, that'll tell you how.
So you had to do that with everything?
Yes. Yes, and we had to use that all the time.
And were you on a machine?
On the machine, yes.
What would you do on the machine to make the part?
Well, we had to watch the machines, and we had to watch them. They had to be watched all the time.
So, would you mostly watch them and then measure what was done?
Measure, yes. We had to measure and. As I say, put them under the micrometer and measure parts. Oh yes, it was very tedious.
How many people worked together?
Oh, we had a big room, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so
it was over 20 in one room. Oh, a Boeing's was a big place. Mm-hmm. See, we had different, what can I tell you? I might say stations. Now, we used to have to wear head covers, and on our work, they knew what work we were doing by the head cover we wore. That we wore coloured head cloths. So they knew what work we were doing.
So each job would have a different colour?
Whatever parts, you see, we made some of the small parts. Other places made the big parts. Other places assembled. It was, everything was different. Mm-hmm. We had, our part would be like here, and then the next division would be a different kind of work altogether. So,
and did people who worked in one area know people in another area?
Yes. Yes.
Did you become friends with the people you worked with?
Oh, very friendly, yes. Oh, yes, very, very friendly.
What was, did people play games or...
They'd go out, play, they'd go out bowling or card playing. I never went with them. I had no time for cards or anything. I had too big a house to keep clean. So when I worked, if I wasn't working at the work, I was working at home.
Were you married?
Oh, yes.
And did you have children?
I had one. I've got a daughter, 73 years old.
At that
and she has children, and I had some of them with me.
So you were looking after them?
Oh, not while I was working, no. No.
Did you have breaks during the day at work at all?
Or did we have what day?
Did you work solidly, like all day? Did you have lunch breaks or
coffee? Oh, yes, yes. We had, we used to go on different shifts. We had one shift we'd go on 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and 11 to 1. That's the shifts we had. And then we would go on all night. So.
How did that work? Did you start at one and then go to another one?
Yes. We done it every 2 weeks. We went on a different shift every 2 weeks.
What was that like?
Well, it gave us a... First I started it every week. And the girls were getting sick. And it was getting too much for them. So they gave us... that we went every 2 weeks, and then we left on a Friday night, and we didn't go in till Monday. That gave us the rest. And we've worked Sundays too. We had to work Sundays.
Did you work 5 days a week or 6 days a week?
Sometimes seven.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Without a break?
Without a break, yes. Sometimes we were so busy we had to get the contract fixed.
Oh, okay. Tell me about how you did that, how you fixed the contract.
Well, we had to work till that order was finished, and then we got our break. We did get our break, but mind you, while we were working, we got paid. We got extra pay.
Paid by the hour?
Paid by the hour, yes.
And where did you, how much did you start out at?
Beg your pardon?
Do you remember how much you earned in the beginning?
Well, I got 35 cents an hour when I first started. And it was 80 cents an hour when I finished.
That's a big leap up.
That was a big, that day, that pay was big pay that time.
And how did you feel about making that much money?
Oh, I'd always been used to making money, so it didn't bother me.
That's a good idea.
I'd always earned good money.
Had you worked during the Depression? Did you have a job during the Depression?
Oh, yes, I had a terrible job.
What was it?
I was a chambermaid in a hotel. And I worked 7 days a week for $15 a week. So
was that in Vancouver?
Yes, the Broadway Hotel.
What kind of work did you have to do? What work did you do as a chambermaid?
Oh, making beds. I made 53 beds a day. Come home dead tired. Very often my sister used to come down and give me a hand.
And how many hours did you work?
I worked from the time I... pardon me, If I got through at 3 in the afternoon, I could get through. If I had to work to 7, I had to work to 7.
So you had
that was a depression.
Right, right. And was there ever any attempt to make a union come into the hotel? Were there any...
Oh, no. There's no unions for the hotel. No.
Right.
Okay. I done that for 2 years in the hotel.
did that affect you physically? Were you tired or sick working that hard?
I had, if I was sick, I had to pay somebody to come work for me.
That's terrible. Why? What would happen if you didn't?
Well, I'd lose my job, I guess. But I was renting a house off of him, so that kind of held my job, renting the house.
Was it a big hotel or small?
It was a Broadway hotel, one of the worst hotels you could ever get into.
How was it one of the worst?
Oh, there was a lot of prostitution going on.
Really? Where was it?
Hastings Street. Hastings and Columbia, I think.
Right.
Oh, I saw. I didn't enjoy that work, I'll tell you.
Right. Would you run into prostitutes all the time? Like, how would you deal with that happening?
Well, I used to try and talk to some of them to go straight, to go and find a job. Talk myself dead. And one girl came there. And she was such a nice girl. She came from Poland. And I could see how she would have ended up in the end, and she would have ended up innocently. So I spoke to one of the boarders. He was a very nice man and a real good man. He wasn't after prostitutes. And I asked him one day, I said, would you mind if I left your room till 4 o'clock, till you come on, Charlie, we used to call him. And he said, why? And I said, well, I've got a girl here that they've given me to help. And I can see the way some of these are going on. If she'll end up going wrong, and I don't want her to do that. I said, she's a real nice girl. I can't understand her language. She came from Poland. But I said, you're a Ukrainian, you could talk to her. And he said, all right, Mrs. Green, bring her down. And I said, I've got a room that she can have. God, I only used to charge her $4 a week for a board and room. And I said, that'll keep her away from. And he said, all right, I'll talk to her and I'll bring her up and show her the room. And he did. In the end, he married her.
Was the room in your house? The
room was in my house.
That's very generous of you.
Yes, oh, well, I do that. I've done that all the time. I would do anything to keep a girl off the street.
Why did girls end up being prostitutes? Like, why were those women?
Well, I guess it's like it is today. It was hard getting work. But I used to talk to them, and they'd come and tell me their troubles.
That's great. And did they work for men? Like, is it?
I think they worked for somebody in the. They had a man working for, I guess. The Bancrofts. Two Bancroft boys were there. They had girls there.
Were they fairly well known in Vancouver?
They were well known. What do you call them, pimps?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were well known. They're both dead today, both of them.
Right. Okay, and what problems would the prostitutes have? Would there be violence or were there illnesses or that?
I beg your pardon?
What problems did the prostitutes run into? Were they sick?
Oh, well, I never went into their problems.
Right.
No, I never went into the problems.
Yeah.
No, no, I didn't get thick with them.
Right.
Oh, no.
Right. And, let's see, were you the only chambermaid who worked? How many women worked with
yes,
you?
Yes, I was the only one.
Oh, yeah,
they had 50. They had 50. Very often, I've come home dead, bone tired, and I'm not going to mention the bosses. He's dead now, anyway. The old man who ran the place, but he was no good.
Right. And what years did you have that job? Was that? that was during the Depression.
So in the Depression?
Yeah.
I rang that about 2 years.
Right.
2 or 3 years. I couldn't tell you exactly.
Okay.
Then I started, then I went to, got a job in the laundry again. And that was here, and that was pretty near as bad for pay. Go in the early in the morning and you work till late at night.
What work did you do in the laundry?
Oh, over here, I was an iron, ironing. But in the old, before I came here, I was a machinist. That's how I used to earn good money. I was apprenticed to it, apprenticed to the machines in the old country.
Mm. How would the apprenticeship work? Tell me a bit about apprenticeship. What was that? How did apprenticeship work?
Oh, well, you had to learn your trade. You had to learn it. You had to learn it from the bottom up. I was a shirt machinist, what you could, you wouldn't understand it. There's a shirt machine, a collar machine, and a body ironer machine in the laundries.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a shirt machine in a first class hotel, and I've done royalties work.
Mm.
King Alfonso, when he came over here to get married, I done his work. And I done Chatterton's work. Oh, I can't think of everybody. And Marja Raz, I've done there from India, and I worked in a place called the Queen Anne Mansions in England. And Lily Langtry lived there when she was alive. King Edward used to visit her there too.
Was it like an apartment hotel?
It was a place like this, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the name of Maggie McDonald's. People by the Scotch people. And they used to feel sorry for us because we were right down there in the basement working. And they used to send us down lovely teas. I always remember them. So did the Marjara.
That's great. And so you would actually, you worked on a shirt iron?
I worked on a
shirt machine.
On a shirt machine that would go under a roller. Be a roller about that wide and thick, and then you worked it with your foot, not sitting down, standing up, and you worked it that way, up and down, your foot going up and down all the time.
Right, so that would iron the, actually iron
that
the
would iron the front and the cuffs.
Mm.
Not the whole shirt. The whole shirt, the other part of the shirt would go to another. The ironers had to iron that.
By hand.
But we done the shirts, the cuffs, and the when they wore the fronts.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that would take considerable skill, wouldn't it?
Oh yes, yes. And you had to be perfect. The head girl at that time was a collar machinist, and she sent some collar, that bunch of collars upstairs into the hotel rooms. She tied them up, and the old man, Crookshank was the name, I'll never forget that. And he sent them down, and he said they were disgraceful. Get in and do them properly. And this Annie, she said to me, she said, I said, what's the matter with the man? She said, can you see anything? I said, no. Well, she said, we'll keep him down here for a bit, then we'll send him up. Then he rang down, he wanted his collars. So she said, will you take him up for me? I said, yes. Why couldn't they look like this in the first place and they'd never been touched?
That's so funny.
That's great. Was that hotel, was there a union in that hotel?
Are they fun?
Was there a trade union in that hotel?
Oh, there was no unions then. No unions. No unions then. Used to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. You got off 8 o'clock Monday night and Tuesday night. Wednesday and Thursday, 9 o'clock. Friday night, 10 o'clock. And Saturday, when your work was finished.
Now that's...
There was no union. And you just got one pay. You got no overpay. No overtime. You got one step. I got a guinea a week. A guinea a week was £1.01.
Right. When are we talking about? Is this like the 1910, 1920? What years?
Oh, in 19... Because I was a young woman there. 1920. I was married and got a baby. I was going on 24 when I had my baby.
So we're talking a bit earlier
in terms of working in the laundry?
I was still working in the laundry.
Yeah? Okay. When you were married?
Oh, yes. I worked in the laundry right until I come here.
Right.
To this... After, of course, I did make rope in England. Mm-hmm. I worked for Waring and Gillows, and then I went to Maples, and I made rope, and after that contract was through, I made water bags and nose bags and bomb buckets and all that. But I tried to make a tent and I couldn't.
Oh.
I got entangled in it.
Oh. So did you stop working there or did you just not make tents? Did you leave the job because you couldn't make a tent?
Oh, no, I never give up. No.
So, was your husband happy that you were working? Was that acceptable?
Well, my husband, he was a soldier. My first husband, I lost him in the first war. Mm-hmm. I lost a husband. And if I didn't, we were only getting a shilling a day. Well, I was getting 18 shillings and sixpence for myself and my daughter. That was a week, and out of that you're supposed to keep your child and yourself and pay your rent. Gosh, yes. We'd have gone hungry if I hadn't worked.
Right.
And in this country, too.
Okay, so in this country, what was it like coming here and looking for a job? Did you come right to Vancouver?
I came to Vancouver. 66 years ago I was on the ocean. Right now. I left on the 3rd of June. And I got here on the 11th of June, I think. Wait a minute. 8? Well, anyway, I got here in 2 weeks. And I was working
the day after I got here.
So how did you get that job?
I went after it.
You what? Did you look in the paper?
No.
Did you walk?
No, we went to a hotel, and I asked the hotel manager different places, and he told me where to go. And he let me leave my little girl behind and the chambermaid's mind until I come home. And I started work. That was about the second day I got here.
And was your husband working?
No. No, they never got their jobs back. My husband never got his job back.
So was he with you then when you first came to Canada, or was he?
Oh, we came over together. Yes. We came over
together.
So was he unemployed from that point on?
Lots of unemployment. I'd done more.
Oh, and then
I did give up the laundry a bit over there,
and I went
out house cleaning,
and
then I got in with the VONs. When the
VON nurses was around.
Mm-hmm. And they kept me busy.
You worked with them?
I worked with them. They used to
go to places where they were
finding
a housekeeper.
And then they'd...
It was through a doctor
that done that.
I used to say, at the end,
I used to say to the patient
I left,
don't let them know I've
left you.
I've got to have a
rest.
Oh, yes, I got
lots and lots of work.
Right. Was that in England still, or...?
No, I don't know housework
for people in England.
Only in Canada.
Only in Canada.
And I've done a lot
in...
I've done a lot of housekeeping here.
Right.
Done a lot of housekeeping.
So first you went
in the laundry.
And then you went...
Then I went housekeeping, yes. And then we went to... janitor work.
Mm-hmm.
Done janitor work.
And then a janitor?
My first job was in the...
In Victoria. A
little apartment.
Called the Empress.
Empress Apartments.
Not the hotel, the apartment.
No.
Oh, what?
You don't remember the name of that apartment, do you, in Victoria? Was it the Empress or?
No,
I think it was the Empress. Something like...
I know it was
the...
Pembroke
Street,
anyway.
That's true.
And,
What was your job? Managing the apartment building, or was your job to manage
the apartment building,
or did you clean it?
Well, when I went
to first, it was
the cleaning,
polishing, keeping the corridors clean, and actually keeping the place
actually clean.
Right.
So,
out of all of those jobs in the 1930s, which was the hardest?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, they were all hard.
Yeah.
They were all hard.
You earned your money.
I know.
You earned your money.
And did your husband work out during any of that time?
Oh, he did. He
was a good
worker. He could get it.
But
he couldn't get it.
But of course, when he was in
the...
He gave up janitor work
to
rejoin the army. And then after that, he practically gave up.
That was his last work.
Janitor work.
And
he joined the army and...
He got out of the army
for ill health.
And eventually married.
Is it not what you were talking
about? Yes, well... I lost my first husband.
In the war.
In England. And
I lost my husband in the war out
here.
Mm-hmm. Was he older than you?
No, believe it or not, I was older than him.
Really?
And not much, but...
I was older than him.
Right. Did he accept working? Did he accept
working?
Oh, no, he would
love to give it up.
But I wouldn't give it up. I
couldn't afford it.
I wanted to go on...
burnt out
pension.
No.
Oh, then I by the time I'm talking. Now, when
I'm not talking about... Working in the hospital.
I was working in
some hospital. Mm.
And I was making
special meals
for
sick patients.
As they come up
through the hospital.
Operating rooms.
I was,
by that time I was getting $265 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wages
those days. Now this is
30 years ago
I'm talking about.
Right.
And he wanted me to...
I didn't miss him.
I adored
him.
And he had...
They told me he had to have
this, and he had
to have that.
And Mr. Green's got to be fed there.
And I said, well,
what
does Mrs. Green want?
I said,
right now you're
giving us
$101
a month to live on.
My
rent is
$65.
How can I
feed him? Now tell me
he's got to be fed.
We didn't get any help.
But he
wanted to stay home,
which would have been
$95 a month.
I would have added
the cost a bit.
I had.
In my...
And live in one
room.
And I said, I am not living. I'm one of 18 children. We always had a
bathroom
properly. Get a bath.
Do
everything. I suppose do everything. And I said, no. And... they told me they were going to take my... If I didn't do it, they would take the pension away. So, I said, go ahead and take it. Take it, I don't care.
Right, because you live better on your wages.
So we got a, no, the time they told me that, I was so mad. I was so mad with the fellow that he was very, very ill. He suffered with the leukemia. And they went up and bothered him in the hospital. And I was paying $1 a day that time, all out of 101. And I was paying $65 for rent and a dollar a day out of that pension, what they were giving me. And this fella, he went after me and told me that he was going to take the, he said, we'll see that you will take the pension away from you.
Right.
And I got him by the neck, I got him by the collar here, and I dragged him out of that sick room onto the corridor. And just then Dr. Whiteley came down and he said, what's wrong? And I told the doctor. And he said, Mr. Green does not leave this hospital only under my say-so. And he told me, he said, you go home and have a rest and don't upset yourself anymore. And in 2 weeks he was dead.
Wow.